Okay. Alrighty. Well, I need to go ahead and look at old Matt Parrott. We're back here. Maybe I need to go ahead and mention, you know, talk to Matt Parrott sometime. Matt Parrott, this was about a year or so ago. He got mad at me talking about Uyghurs, and he censored me over on Kevin McDonald's forum. But ever since then, he's gotten a little bit, you know, talk about not throwing people under the bus here. So maybe I can go ahead and make peace with old Matt Parrott here. You know, I've called him Fat Parrott, but he has written some interesting stuff here. It's just that sometimes he goes over on Hunter Wallace's, and he argues with the Southern nationalists here, and he talks about how they shouldn't have brought all the niggers, shouldn't have brought all them niggers that the Jews were bringing over to America. In any case, I think there's some truth to that here. Folks, if you're 44, 45, 47, 48, and you're still blocked, you can blame some nimbuster tards who posted porn. Posted bestiality porn in the chat room. I don't really like that. And so as a result here, because of the actions of one or two nimbuster tards here, while the rest of the other, probably who would do the same thing, nimbuster tards got to suffer a little bit for it. Okay? So, anyway, where was I? Let me see here. Okay, well, that's nice here. In any case, by the way, Pearson, I went ahead and got into the administrative panel and cut down on some of that ungodly long signature line of yours. I mean, heck, you have three lines of text here, and you end up having about 1,000 words underneath it here. Don't mind you go ahead and talk about Harold Covington. Don't mind you talking about, Canada. But, I think one link is enough for Bill White. All right? Okay. Is bestiality illegal? Not for Mamsers, it ain't APOC. You might go ahead and talk to Rustifer. I was over at the Mamser Bill last night looking at this old Trayvon Martin thread from March 2012 when it started becoming in the news here. It waited about a week, and then, there was just nothing but poor little Skittles here. Poor little Skittles being shot by, by this evil racist beaner Jew, something like that. Anyway, I was looking at this old thread here, and essentially, so I logged in to find it, and, hell, I can't even answer back to my own dang page here. You might tell Rustifer usually swallows the Beaner Cougarus here to sort of ease up here a little bit. I mean, heck, usually if you can't even answer back to your own to your own page here, even though it's just June Stain. Maybe I didn't even need to answer back to June Stain. Who knows? Okay, so where is it here? All right. Anyway, if anybody wants to call in, they're free to do so. Mona, I haven't really worked on your submission, but I didn't, cut down. Then we had Pisser Possum call for a little while, and it looks like we have somewhat more of an audience than what we had at the very beginning when people were listening to Wickstrom and probably the Truth Militia. Okay? Let's see here. Alrighty here. Huh. Okay. Why is it important? Why is it important when the prosecution proceeds to do, pull this crap here? If they would have found George Zimmerman guilty, every single nigger would have said, well, hey, I'm not being any worse than old Trayvon Martin. Don't I have a right because I've been disrespected by white people asking me what I'm doing here in a white neighborhood? What am I doing here? I mean, don't I have a right to beat the crap out of this creepy cracker? You know, and you have this, well, we got to get rid of Florida Stand Your Ground law. Well, folks, I believe this bitch of a prosecutor and the rest of them, I think they ought to be prosecuted for malicious prosecution and sent to prison and put in the same pod as these niggers have gone ahead and sent to prison. In fact, I believe that, you know, crooked prosecutors ought to be skinned, them and their entire family, because that's what happened to me. Now, in 1978, in Imbler versus Pacman, the Supreme Court ruled that you can't civilly sue a prostitutor for essentially malicious prosecution. You can't sue them civilly. Well, just like all these people where the cops have immunity from, you know, qualified immunity, and judges have absolute immunity, and prosecutors have absolute immunity, and these legislators have absolute immunity for whatever the hell whatever crimes they commit, you know, by going ahead and legalizing it. Let's understand something. What happens when a prosecutor who's pulled this crap is no longer a prosecutor? You have a new prosecutor. What if I became the prosecutor? Do you think for a minute that I wouldn't overlook my police going ahead and grabbing up the children of social workers, of child protective service workers, and torturing those children and testifying against their fathers and mothers? Folks, if you're going to go ahead and do that, then hey, you're immune from prosecution as long as you maintain power. What if you come across somebody who wants to essentially misuse his prosecutorial ability however the hell he wants to? I can quite, you know, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with revolutionary police grabbing hold of the former regime police and torturing them and their families into making confessions, putting them in a cage of, well, you know, syphilitic niggers, skinning out crooked prosecutors here. I mean, hell, piece of shit like, I forget his name here. The one who's four here and this another one here. Don't really need to name their names here. Don't want to get in too much trouble. Well, I'm not really worried. My hatred is a lot greater than my fear here. But, you know, I mean, it's not just, you know, the prosecutor that's wronged me. Maybe as a class, we need, you know, I think we need to put policemen to death and their families, prosecutors, and, you know, and judges and lawyers to death along with their family. They started a civil war and they lost it. You know, you can't go ahead and clean up any society until the diseased element is done away with. And what happens when, like I say, the diseased element is 90% of the population? Now, last night, when I was looking at here, and they said, you know, I mean, I looked at the father, and he just looked like a Whigger. He's more likely a Jew. I looked at the mother, she looked like a Indian of some sort, because she was. My guess, she was the Ecuadorian maid, housekeeper, that the Jew judge went ahead and tupped. You know, George Zimmerman's brother looks like a beaner. He looks like a beaner. What really annoyed me was George Zimmerman's wife. I mean, heck, you know, I mean, here she was, a fat wigress, well-fed, blonde, probably blue-eyed wigress, you know, as far as I'm concerned, committing bestiality. So it wasn't because I like Zimmerman. or Zimmermans, or like I call them here. But you let niggers believe that they can, they can go ahead and they're above any law, and any white man can't go ahead and ask him where he's going, and then they double back and assault you. You can't kill the nigger for that shit? Well, essentially, you might as well go ahead and just declare niggers as the new kings here. Well, that's what we've done. In America, we decided to let one damn, you know, part yellow nigger run by Jews be our pharaoh. And as a result, you thought Dumbia was bad? Why, hey, this nigger is wasting money at a rate about, what, over 2.5 times as much as old Dumbia was. Dumbia was a piece of shit. Dumbia, you're wondering about bringing in beaners. Another piece of Anglo-Mestizo shit. So as a result here, the only thing that's going to save the remnant, going to save the white race, and I'm talking to the remnant, not just the white race, I'm talking to the remnant. I'm talking to what? Less than 10% of the pure-blooded Whiggers. Now, okay, it looks like Mona's in here. I'm going to unmute Mona here. I'm going to take about a 30-second break here. All right here.
During the confrontation.
All right, Mona, you're on. How you doing?
I'm going to give you my understanding of the confrontation between Zimmerman and Trayvon.
Sure.
I think it's interesting. Trayvon was on the phone with his girlfriend, who wasn't really a girlfriend, but she was kind of a female acquaintance. That fat girl who couldn't talk clearly on the witness stand.
Couldn't read either.
Right. But she did give us a little insight into the timeline. So what happened was that Zimmerman was following Trayvon from a distance, trying to make sure that he would be able to tell the police where Trayvon was when they arrived on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Trayvon knew that he was being followed, and he was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Edie, "I'm being followed by a creepy-ass cracker."
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he should run home because it might be a sexual predator. But instead he turned around to Zimmerman and said, according to Dee Dee, he said, "Why are you following me?" According to Zimmerman, he said, "What the fuck are you doing?" And Trayvon, then Zimmerman responded with, "What are you doing here?"
Mm-hmm.
And then, according to Dee Dee, there was the sound of a thump, and she says that it was Trayvon, but I'm sure it was Zimmerman's voice saying, "Get off me, get off me." Then the phone went dead, according to Dee Dee, but according to the other witnesses, at about that same time, the other witnesses in the condo heard the screams that we all heard on the 9/11 tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, according to Zimmerman, when he turned around and asked Trayvon what he was doing here, the first thing Trayvon did was say, according to Zimmerman, when Trayvon turned around and said, "Why are you following me?" Zimmerman said, "What are you doing here?" And then immediately Trayvon punched Zimmerman in the nose.
Okay.
And Zimmerman doesn't know whether he fell down spontaneously from the blow to the nose or whether Trayvon knocked him down, but the next thing he knew, he was on his back. Trayvon was straddling him, and it was just lucky that eventually he was able to get his gun and shoot Trayvon. And I just think that's a very interesting chain of events, don't you?
No, bigger niggers do that sort of crap all the time here. I mean, they're violent creatures here. was it lawful for, I mean, essentially you have somebody who's associated with the neighborhood watch, you have a bunch of crimes occurring as the place becomes more and more niggerized. That's why you have people running away from niggers. You know, it's called white flight. They don't want to have anything to do with, you know, living next to them, don't want their children living next to these creatures. Heck, even niggers don't like living next to niggers. And, you know, here the guy is at, you know, here this guy is with the local neighborhood watch, and he is following him. And from my gather, he is some of a little pussy with a gun. And essentially what he's done all these other, 45 or 50 times is he calls the cops in. And from my gather, one of the dispatchers said, "Are you following him? You don't need to do that." So from my gather, from what I heard, he was heading back to his car. And, you know, here, you know, I've been locked up with niggers. You're disrespecting me. You're disrespecting me. And they get all mad, and then they get violent here when they think about how they've been disrespected, even though niggers are disrespectful to everybody they can be here. I mean, that's why, you know, heck, I was locked up with, some of these niggers are so violent. They're doped up. They're doped up to the gills. And so as a result, they end up having maybe, about 100, 200 milligrams of Haldol. And here they are, they're just, you know, tranked out to where they can only just barely slobber. And when they do have a fight, and I've seen, essentially two tranked out niggers fight here in the Nut House, they're just acting in slow motion, you know what I mean? Totally slow motion, because essentially their synapses are drugged so much. And they're just, you know, it's just slow motion. And folks, I've seen this sort of thing, you know, with niggers fighting other niggers, niggers fighting other nuts, you know, wigger nuts, whatever. And, from my gather, Zimmerman was confronting, you know, this, 6'1" nigger here, Buck here, who's going through there.
He was not confronting him. It was the Negro that turned around and confronted Zimmerman.
Well, later on, I mean, essentially they're asking, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And essentially, I guess old Trayvon doesn't like being disrespected, because what he does, he comes back and jumps on the little baby beaner, and little smaller beaner, and starts pounding his head in the pavement and breaks his nose. You know, you've seen the pictures that they tried to edit out. I mean, you know, I hope Zimmerman, you know, they're talking about going to Department of Justice and the rest here. I mean, heck, here's Eric Holder. He's been the ATF is there as command, and they're trying to get guns taken away from white people. So here they are, knowingly selling guns to Mexican gangbangers, which has gone ahead and killed thousands of Mexicans, you know, fighting over drug profits in Mexico. And eventually some of these run guns with Operation Fast and Furious goes ahead and shoots a few border agents, a few DEA agents, you know what I mean, on this side of the border. And essentially, Obongo and Eric Holder and the rest here, you know, well, I'm not going to go against my people. And here they are, they're talking about, trying Zimmerman for that here. And you have this Judge Alex, he has this little TV show. He was saying, well, they can't really charge him under the law because he's not really a policeman. He's not really a state actor, so therefore they can't try him for violating the civil rights. Or like Fink was. Fink could be tried for a civil rights violation because he was a jailer in a Jersey City jail. So therefore when they boogered up the complaint when he murdered that Puerto Rican, somehow the state buddies at the county or something like that boogered up the murder charge. But since he was a jailer sergeant here, he could be charged. And what happens is the one who the one who did not as much beating as Fink, tried to go ahead and take it to trial, and he got found guilty of 15 years. They were trying to give Fink 30 years. And Fink went ahead and cut a, you know, plea bargain, and he got 15 years, and he had to serve 12 and a half of them here. Yeah, I've been listening to Fink here. Fink's, I need to go ahead and compile some of this crap Fink's saying here. Fink says there were no Europeans before 1200 B.C. You know what I mean? You know, because Herodotus said there were no said that there were no big cities in Europe here before, you know. And I keep on asking people, how often is Herodotus mentioned in the Bible? The answer is he's not. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, Fink's come up with all this sort of crap here. These Phoenicians were Canaanites. Most of them were descended from Canaan's oldest son, Sidon. He's trying to say the Phoenicians, you know, a.k.a. the Carthaginians, were not Phoenicians. They were Israelites. And, well, no. I mean, among things that they did is they sacrificed their eldest children, you know, to their god, Melchior or Molech, and the Romans themselves, you know, made hay about that. And Fink supposedly is a classical scholar. He should know that, but he's lying. You know, he's going ahead telling a whole bunch of lies. So I've gone ahead and listened to Fink, and his history is about as good as, about, you know, his biblical study. Need to go ahead and get that, what, December 28th, 2010, where he did it with Eli James and said the four horsemen of the apocalypse were Gaius Marius, Felix Sulla, Julius Caesar, and Mark Anthony, who lived, what, 180 to 150 years before John of Patmos wrote down the Book of Revelations. So, in any case, Getting down is that, so you understand how this Trayvon Martin essentially was just a nigger who essentially got pissed off at a smaller beaner here, and I guess he must have been doped up or something. He sort of forgot that in Florida, a good portion of the population has guns. You know what I mean? It's not like in California. You know what I mean?
He did have traces of marijuana in his blood. The autopsy showed that.
Yeah, well, from my gear, they wouldn't allow that to be put into the record. You know what I mean?
That's right. And he was visibly swaying, if you look at the videotape in the 7-Eleven. So Zimmerman was correct to say he looks like he's on something.
Well, he probably was, but, you know, I've seen a bunch of people on marijuana here. It probably would have been better if little Trayvon would have been on more, you know, marijuana. I mean, shoot, the drug that, you know, what makes niggers dangerous isn't marijuana so much, it's testosterone. If old little Trayvon would have been so mellow, hey man, you know what I mean? It probably would have, hey, you know, oh, I'm looking for pussy, I'm on nigger weed. I mean, you know, generally it probably wouldn't have been much of a confrontation. You know, so, any case,
Oh, I wanted to correct you on one thing. The father is not a Jew. I thought he was, too, because of the name. But mm-hmm. he was a Baptist. And if you look at him and you see his gestures, he doesn't look Jewish. And I don't think...
No, he didn't really look that Jewish. It's just that, you know, usually, you know, anybody with a name of M-A-L, that ends at M-A-N, you know what I mean? It starts with a Z. Why, you're pretty sure you're talking about a Jew, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but anyway, he was a Baptist, so I'm thinking he wasn't a Jew, but I think a lot of people thought he was Jewish.
Well, a lot of people do think he's Jew, and I don't know, I did look here. I mean, I looked at the mother. What annoyed me the most is I looked at the wife, and she was some blonde, probably blue-eyed, you know, sort of plump wiggers, you know what I mean?
I didn't didn't notice her being blonde. Does she have brown hair?
No, it was sort of like a, Huigris Gorda. You know what I mean? She wasn't really super, super, super fat here, but then again, she sure as hell wasn't thin either. You know what I mean?
Right,
she was,
right.
And so here he is. He is with a Huigger wife here, and that annoyed me some, but, what I seen is that, I mean, if they'd found him guilty, it'd have been pretty well telling the niggers that they can, well, essentially do whatever the hell they want to and beat the crap, go ahead and do whatever the hell they want to, beat the crap out of white people, while they're casing a joint or whatever, claiming they haven't been profiled. Now, what I've looked here, there's been a little bit of chimping, but I haven't seen any full-fledged riots as if things are going to be burnt down. And I think I sort of think is that what I've noticed here, even with Visser here, he's a Sephardic Melungeon Mamzer himself here, but when he was screaming at this nigger woman over on News Guy show, essentially what happens is that when you go ahead and scream like you're a total racist here to a nigger, usually what the nigger will do is he won't scream back at you that he hates whitey. What he'll do is he'll whine that you're ignorant, that you're stupid here, you're a stupid cracker here, you're not smart, like other good wiggers are. Niggers, I've seen, because I've been locked up with them, and niggers, niggers have two feelings toward white people. One is fear, and the other is hatred. And if you're stupid enough to reduce the fear that they hold you in, you're going to have to deal with their hatred. I was actually assaulted less than most Wiggers were at the Nut House because, essentially, I didn't hide the fact that I was a Klansman and a Aryan Nations pastor and the rest here. So usually, there was this crazy nigger here, but he took about 3 days here. He hit me in the ear on January 1st of 2007, and he was a fucked up, he was one fucked up nigger. But, the other one, he got mad at me and hit me in the chest here, but he was a cycling nigger. And essentially, he'd been acting up for about a day and a half. Usually, that's trouble here when they're just sort of staring at you like a baboon here and getting up their nerve to attack you. But I've seen stupid wiggers essentially, I'm not racist, I'm not this, I'm not that, and essentially they get assaulted all the time. I remember this 19 or 20 year old 6'3", skinny little 19-year-old Huigger. He had all these little swastikas and Nazi shit tattooed all over his arms here. And, heck, he hadn't got his civilian clothes yet. And he was scared shitless because, hey, all these niggers were beating the crap out of him. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, this is at the Nut House. I mean, heck, I've been locked up at St. Biggs, 60% nigger. And I've seen them to where, what they do is that they're so aggressive niggers here that what they do is that they have about 100, 150 milligrams of Haldol. That could go, I've only gotten 5 milligrams of Haldol at a time and shit. It was about a day and, because I refused to take a shot. You know what I mean? Or I refused to take my dope initially. And I got illegally, of course. I got 10 of Ativan and 5 of Haldol. Got 10 and a 5. And hell, I was, didn't feel like doing anything. It was sort of like wearing a lead suit. That Haldol goes ahead and really just screws you up. Now, what ends up happening, though, I have my friend who killed his daddy with a claw hammer. He gets a lot of risperidol. And what they do is that a lot of times they cycle here. Their body gets, their body gets resistant to the drugs they are on, and then about, what, every 6 months or so, you know, the same old dosage no longer works here. And then you're having what? Like, you're having like 800 milligrams of risperidol, which is what? Oh, four times the minimum recommended dose. So what they do is, with my friend, after about 6 months, when they have them up to about 500, 600, 700 milligrams of risperidol, they crank them down to two. You know what I mean? For about 2 or 3 months. And then what happens? He gets it out of the system. So then they go ahead and crank it back up again. And, you know, this is just simply abuse here. What's funny is up in St. Joseph here, they got these two quacks here that got unlicensed, you know, got their medical licenses pulled in Kansas, and here they are working on the, you know, St. Joseph is close to the Kansas border. They're working at the St. Joseph nut house here. Plus you got one of the ones who killed Elvis, you know what I mean? They got this one quack who killed Elvis here with all, you know, big old fat K rock and roll who cracked on the, you know, who died on the crapper here from all the dope he was given here and was eating what? I mean, so you have over St. Joseph, you have these two quacks that got their medical license pulled in Kansas. I mean, I see it here. I mean, one of my friends here. I have three nuts here that I sort of keep. One's in prison, one's at St. Joseph, and the other one got released from St. Joseph on Monday. Called him up and essentially he's been put on a group home here. Essentially they caved because he got a pretty good doctor who screwed him over. So essentially they caved and sent him to a group home. And he went ahead and said, okay, look at this doctor, look at this doctor, and look at this third doctor. So essentially, you know, two of the quacks had 3 years ago, both got, you know, I guess they killed a patient or something like that, a patient or two. And since they got their license pulled in Kansas, and then this other quack here was one of the ones that killed it. You know, one of the quacks killed Elvis.
I'm just interested in what you're saying. I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, I mean. this one here, he ain't really nuts here. He was just a criminal. And, about 8 or 9 years ago, he was a criminal and he was being chased by the police here. And he managed to, you know, in Missouri somewhere, and he managed to, you know, he managed to essentially steal the old pig's pig car. He tried to go ahead and run the pig over with his own damn car. So, essentially, here comes about, you know, he's pretty well tore up the crap out of this pigmobile, you know, trying to go ahead and run over this pig here, and then there's about five or six more pigs who come in here, and he runs into their cars, and essentially, he screws up about a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of pigmobiles, and... He's looking at least 25 years in prison. So he decides he's going to go ahead and say he's nuts. And that's what he did here. He just went ahead, wasn't doped up hardly any, and essentially he worked his way from Biggs to Gullman to St. Joseph, and essentially got out on a FUSHA action, you know, FUSHA versus Louisiana. He's now danger to himself or others. So essentially he wasn't really ever really nuts here. He was just simply a criminal. So when he first got sent to St. Joseph, he said, why don't I just tell him is that, hey, I was just fooling you idiots here, now that the charges have been dismissed here. Why don't I just tell him that I was just, you know, just pulling you fucking idiots' dicks? I says, no, don't tell them that here. I mean, they hear this all the time about how criminals are taking advantage of these idiots. You know what I mean? Like the one who killed Elvis, the other two who went ahead and killed some other people in Kansas. He says, tell them that you've been cured thanks to their psychiatric techniques here. And that's what he did. And essentially he found a fairly good, he found a, he found this here one psychiatrist who essentially goes against the other psychiatrist and tells them how they're full of shit, and essentially they're going to go ahead and seek a conditional release, and essentially they didn't want to face him. They didn't want to face his psychiatrist, his lawyer.
Dangerous.
Yeah. In any case, I'm looking at that here. I may go ahead and unmute a few of the guests here. But you end up having these tards here. They go ahead and they post porn. You know what I mean? So anyway, I ought to write a book about what I see at the Nut House. I mean, so I never met him here, but essentially, one of my three managed to get himself out of trouble. You know what I mean? Or he managed to sort of work his way out of the mischief he got in. And the guy never really was nuts here. He was just simply a calculated criminal who tried to run over a pig, his own pigmobile. And as far as I'm concerned, that's, more power to him here. But, you have all these kinds here. So, Mona, were you ever a prosecutor or anything like that?
No, I wasn't. I tried to help older people get out of the institutions they were put into by their children. Often would try to get, they put their parents in an institution in order to get control of their estates.
Yeah.
And I would go in and help them, get out of that situation.
Well, I mean, heck, maybe they should go ahead and go after their kids with a claw hammer. You know what I mean?
I could never get them to do it. I tried to explain, if you want to be free, you're going to have to free yourself of your children.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to divorce your children, and they couldn't ever do it. Never, not one ever was able to do that.
Well, you're looking... It's sort of like I used to go down to municipal court looking for somebody to go ahead and fight with these lying pigs here. And you couldn't find any of them. I mean, you're trying to go ahead and offer a bunch of these sheep a bunch of tiger bitey fangs, you know what I mean? And they're not, they're sheep. They're not, they're not tigers. They're not wolves. They're just sheep. You're trying to... Huh?
Yeah, you're right. So when they get put in the institutions by their children, they start whining like sheep. And I stupidly thought that they were serious, but they're not. Like you said, they're just sheep.
They're just
whining. They didn't want to get free.
Well, they didn't really want to get free. I mean, hell. I mean, they probably could just simply say, "Hey, look, this little bastard. My sister. I mean, heck, she squeezed out two boys here, and the oldest one here, he looks the most like the Lindstedt side of the family. But what he does is he has the bad part about Lindstedt just loving nothing more than money, just like my brother is. And, here he is trying to cheat his mother. And essentially, she's trying to go ahead and get along with Junior, like she calls him here. Essentially the other son, he's just a little whiny, little drunken pussy here who's mad that, here's mama, she's 48, and she wants to remarry. You know what I mean? She waits a whole year after her first husband was dead here, and, here's her two boys here. One's trying to steal from her, and the other's whining like a pussy here because essentially, his mother, ain't like she, she had a little bit of problem with her female part, so she ended up having a bunch of them cut out to where she's not going to squeeze out anymore anyway. So, I'm trying to say, why are you bitching about it here? I mean, heck, what do you expect your mother to do? Not ever marry anybody? And essentially, she married her former brother-in-law. And I, you know, essentially, my brother's widow's brother. And essentially, he's a pretty nice guy here. You know, he's a pretty nice guy. He makes, what, about, oh, close to six figures. Essentially, what he does, he sets up factories. He's a millwright. And the guy, you know, the guy's always been a nice guy here. You know what I mean? He don't always, you know, he's not a hard charger like me, but he's a nice enough guy here. My sister could have done a whole lot better. And I don't see why you're bitching. It's not like she's gonna squeeze out any more kids. You know what I mean? To displace you, you two idiots. And I remember last year, his father's still alive here. And he swung, I'm 28 years old. And I said, okay, you're 28 years old and you're still whining like a pussy. You know what I mean? And, you know, he goes ahead, he gets mad, he hangs up here. I told my sister, well, hey, your son was whining like a pussy and I'd shoot his ass over it here and he hung up on me. You know what I mean? But, in any case, you just have all these sorts of people here. And, what I've seen on my side of the family, it's usually it's a, you know, real bitch like my grandmother killing off her husband and essentially trying to kill off her daughter.
How did she do that?
Oh, she just got him out. She just got him out in Lone Prairie and, you know, hit him on the head with a jack handle. And then she went ahead and, you know, put her 300-pound ass top his face and smothered him here. I mean, heck. You know, that's how we did it.
Huh? Did she get arrested?
Oh, hell no. Shit. Her damn lawyers were well connected here. Hell. You know, one of them became a state South Dakota Supreme Court judge. You know, my dad went to prison because the FBI sort of thought he was threatening to shoot one of them, you know, shoot a couple of these bastards. That's why my dad went to prison over that. You know what I mean? You know, he got mad and he ran his mouth here. You know what I mean? My dad should have just kept his mouth shut and just shot the bastards and had done with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're better off. You're better off if you're going to do something. Don't say a damn thing about it here. Just keep your mouth shut here and just hope some other wigger of these bastards screwed over and takes the blame for it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so my dad was sort of foolish. He went ahead. See, that's why I get to where it's just a whole lot easier just go ahead and say kill all the pigs than to go ahead and name a specific one that you want to go ahead and, you know, skin out. You know what I mean? What happens is it's not illegal to talk about killing all the pigs, at least not yet. You know, whereas if you go ahead and talk about imminently skinning out one of them here, you can get in trouble for that shit. You know what I mean? Right?
I think it is illegal to threaten to kill police officers.
Well, I'm sure there's law against it here. I mean, my friend at the Dunhouse, they got all huffy because, hell, he stole one of their pigmobiles and tried to run him over with his own pigmobile and then damaged up, went ahead and totaled out the one he stole and then, went ahead and dinged the crap out of four or five more. You know what I mean? So, he only managed to do about 8 years or so in the nut house. He's still not out yet. He's still in a group home, but what happens, he has to wait about 2 weeks, and then he can go ahead and sign himself out of the group. You know, what he is at this group home is just mainly senile old thieves, you know what I mean? Who used to be really nutty, bad criminals, but it's just mainly, these old coots here who essentially spend all their lives in the nut house anyway, and essentially it's not necessary anymore to, they're pretty well institutionalized. It's not necessary to keep track of them here. So essentially, they didn't want to do it here, but essentially they didn't want to face the rogue psychiatrist and the lawyer that he had lined up. He had lined up to go ahead and get him out here. So, anyway, you know, and, you know, I don't know if he'll get any more trouble. He seems smart enough to know they shouldn't get any more trouble. I don't know if he will or not. My friend who killed his daddy with a claw hammer, I really wouldn't want to be responsible for, you know, getting him turned loose because, you know, his mother is nuttier than his father here, and she hasn't been sending him any money recently. So, I don't know. I really wouldn't want to be responsible for my friend going ahead and whacking his nuttier mother with a claw hammer if he got turned loose. You know what I mean? You know, but on the other hand, I don't want my friend being doped up with her spirit all here, all the time either here. I just assumed he was at a sort of cottage or something like that where he can, write letters or something like that here. About 3 years ago.
Hammers.
Say what?
We're going to have to keep him away from any more hammers.
Well, the problem of it is that, you know, if you turn them loose here, there's no shortage of claw hammers. You know, hell, there's no shortage of rocks. You know what I mean? Or shingling hammers or hatchets or axes or something like that here. You know, I told him that Lizzie Borden was a piker compared to him. I mean, she took 40 whacks to kill her, you know, mommy and daddy here. You know, Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mama 40 whacks. When she seen what she had done, she gave her papa 41. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, hell, you know, old gender bender was saying that Jimbo had taken 23 whacks, you know, the claw hammer kills day. I said, that's a lie. It only took 13, according to my buddy here. You know what I mean? So, huh? Yeah, he is, you know, that's what he said. I wasn't there here, you know what I mean? But, he killed his daddy with a claw hammer, you know what I mean?
The worst crimes I've ever heard of, I think.
Huh?
I think that's one of the worst crimes I've ever heard. I understand hitting somebody once, maybe, but not 13 times.
Well, he didn't really like his father too much here, you know what I mean? Huh?
I guess he's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, he's real smart. He was on America's Most Wanted. He got away. He was gone for about, you know, he managed to hide out for what, 6 months or so. I told him about, how, you know, some guy in Georgia was mistaken for him and got shot by Georgia police and got $30,000 for being shot in the leg here by these Georgia policemen.
Oh.
But, you know, he sent me $350. He wanted, you know, he heard that I was going to visit casino Indians over across the border in Seneca, Missouri, you know, Oklahoma, you know, right across the border, you know, about 30 miles down the road here. Occasionally, Roxy wants me to go out and take her when they have free play. Go visit the casino Indians here. That's why I call them. You know, I mean, they're actually Shawnees, but there's Wyandots and a few others here. There's not hardly any Seneca or Cayuga Indians around here anymore, even though they named the town over it here. You know what I mean? So, any case, anyway, we go over there, and he went ahead and sent me $350. He was trying to tell me how to play the ponies, and I really didn't want to freaking learn. I mean, if I go ahead and I look at a horse race, it's go ahead and look at these, you know, these animals, essentially see which animal's the fastest. I really am not into betting on that stupid crap, especially since I don't know a damn thing about it. Don't really want to learn a dang thing about it. I mean, to me, I don't see, I mean, until they're running here, you don't really know which one's faster than the other to me. Now, to people who really follow it, like my friend, why, yeah. But I'm saying, well, I don't know, Jimbo. I don't want to mess with it. and essentially I never did playing freaking ponies. I never even put a $2 bet on any of my, I mean, I don't know anything about horse racing. You know what I mean? Usually what happens, you get a $5 free play, and usually I'll play video poker, which I understand a little thing about here. And Roxy got mad here because, see, what I'll do is that, you know, I mean, that crap sort of bores me. It just really sort of bores the crap out of me. So I go ahead and I take my Kindle, and essentially I go ahead and usually let her play on my free play. She got all mad because she won $19 on my free play one time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
You know, and she got mad. Well, okay, she was bitching about it. So then the last time we went, she won $61 on her, you know, on her $5 free play. You know, plus putting a dollar in to activate it here. So she won $61. You know what I mean? So, I mean, she did real good by it. I mean, I actually seen it, you know, play out a jackpot here. You know, not a super jackpot, but, you know, heck, pretty good jackpot. And you know, she does that here. I mean, I used to like going over to Buffalo Run because what they had real good onion rings for a dollar and a quarter here. I mean, look, most of this stuff really just bores the crap out of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I just do it to please her. And every so often she bitches about how, you know, she wants to get out here. Well, anyway, we go take the Geo Metro or something like that here, a little big car here. But, oh, let me see. Friday and Saturday, I bought me a 1978 Ford F-150 pickup, and I went down and bought me a bunch of cinder blocks. You know what I mean? Bought, 30 and 25, which weigh about, half a ton. I bought some concrete, and, I was going to maybe mix up some concrete and lay some cinder blocks to save this water, which is coming down from the roof here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
that would be great.
Well, it's gotten dry here. It hasn't rained for a month now. What?
Uh-huh.
Let's see, tomorrow.
I forgot where you are. Are you in Indiana?
No, I'm in Southwest Missouri.
Oh, Missouri, right.
Yeah, right. You're right next, right in the four-state area, where you got southeast Kansas, northeast Oklahoma, northwest Arkansas, and southwest Missouri. And pretty well, you know, you can go to, you know, Bonnie and Clyde used to like hanging around here in Joplin. Of course, they killed two pigs in Joplin here when they were running wild, because essentially what they could do is they could cross the state border real easy here. In Joplin, you're, 10 miles from the Kansas border. You're around more like 15 miles from the Arkansas border. You're around, 50 miles from the Arkansas border. So you can pretty well run pretty easily, you know, and cross a bunch of borders within an hour or so. And that's what they did, okay?
Yep.
So, anyway, what do you know? So essentially, I think they had the right verdict, but Zimmerman. I don't think he should have even been charged, and they fired the Sanford police chief, who said, "Well, hey, this is essentially self-defense. I mean, I see grass stains on, you know, I see grass stains on the back. I see, he has a broken nose. He has, two wounds on the back of his head. I mean, he had a lawful concealed carry permit. This was not even a Florida stand your ground thing. This was just simply self-defense. You know, I mean, he wasn't even just threatened. By this nigger. He was actually, you know, this nigger's on top of him beating his head into the ground, you know, into the concrete. You know what I mean?
It should never have been filed. They should never have charged him. They put him through hell. has to stop. We got to stop these political arrests. It's just got to stop. We just can't continue doing this.
Well, what's going to happen, you know, I mean, what's going to happen when Zog doesn't do it? What happens when Zog does whatever he wants? You know, what I make the point of is that since the government is not bound by any laws, they do whatever they want, I don't think the white people should be bound by any laws. I think that if they want to make it the law of the jungle, just simply exterminate the police and exterminate the lawyers and the judges, simply declare them traitors and kill every single one of them and have done with it. You know what I mean? And set up
Huh? Because I don't think you want to do that, because you'll tear apart the entire fabric of civilization which the white man built. So I don't want to tear down what we built. I just want to admit that we have not taken responsibility. We've allowed ourselves to get infiltrated by Zog, and now we're going to have to clean them out one by one.
Well, how can you clean them out one by one? I mean, Mona, you realize is that, shoot, even by a generous understanding is that what? Really white people, even if you're counting a bunch of mamsers like George Zimmerman as being white, you know, they're pretty well admitting there's what? Oh, about 600 million out of a population of what? Oh, 7 billion or so non-whites. And of them, that the whites are, you know, fewer than what, 2% of white females are of childbearing age. And, you know, what, let's see, last month they said that there were fewer white babies born than non-white babies. And essentially there's more whites dying than are being born. I mean, how can you go ahead and think you're going to save something when... essentially, if you go according to anything, I mean, it's pretty well just a dead matter. It's a dead issue. There is no way to peacefully.
You and I agree that our race is being exterminated. That we both agree to the problem. What we don't agree on is the solution.
Okay.
You think we can get someplace by just killing off as many non-whites as possible?
Oh, I think it's a Whigger civil war. I think that before you can get down to the killing, you've got to deal with the Whigger race traitors, who essentially are bringing forward this because they're fucked up and under the control of the Jews. Generally, as I look at it, of what, 300 some million, and when I look at, you know, I have the TV going usually to a news channel, and what I've done is when I started this show 3.5 years ago, I sort of thought there was 180 million Whiggers and 120 million Mamsers. Now I think that is more like what? Oh, 120 million Whiggers at that, and 180 million Muds or Mamsers. So
I agree with you.
Okay, so you see the whites are actually a minority. I mean, real whites, not, you know, not critters like Jeremy Visser or Brian Rio pretend to be white who ain't. And I think there's fewer and fewer. And what I've gone ahead and said is that the Great Tribulation, you know, the apocalypse, whatever, is going to be the only salvation of Yahweh's servant nation. Which is actually dual seed line Christian day belief here. I keep on in my show trying to tell people, stop following movement leaders, stop sending money to David Duck, or, you know, I think Alex Linder's a Jew, I think Trader Glenn Miller is a drunken Mamser. I had my own fight with Jim Giles. I mean, if I had Jim Giles there, I'd say, hey, you know, Jim, I really, you know, when we had this screaming match, I was mad because you were giving Edgar Steele a hard time, and I wanted you to stop it, and that was the way I did it, was essentially make you admit that you didn't like Edgar Steele. In case, well, I mean, you have somebody who goes ahead. He has his own talk show. He has the Jerry Springer, I call it Jerry Springer Internet Radio, to where essentially has me fighting with Brian Reel, fighting with Jim Giles. I mean, when most people think about internet radio, they think of that July 3rd, 2010 Screamathon that Jim, you know, me and Jim Giles got into. Let's see. Oh, it was, you have people, I would say that probably in the history of internet radio, this was probably the one which got, you know, was the most notorious here. It was definitely Jerry Springer internet radio. You and I and Jim Giles and Hattie made history, you know, that night. I mean, old Hunter Wallace, he thought it was hilarious as well here. But in any case, Jim Giles, back in his heyday of 2008, 2009, you know, before he got mad at Edgar Steele and decided to essentially play, you know, cop or vigilante, Jim Giles was at his best when he was sort of like the Dick Cavett of the white nationalist movement. When he would get people on his show several times, and I remember him talking to William Lind. He hadn't read William Lind's book. He has no idea what William Lind is doing, but he would, you know, he's sort of like this. He has a good deal of verbal intelligence, and he's able to.
If it hadn't been for three full weeks,
twice a day, trying to find Edgar Steele guilty, I would have never had a fight with Jim Giles. You know what I mean? But yeah, as I look at it here, I'm not really a friend of Edgar Steele's, but I'm an ally of Edgar Steele's. I mean, I think Edgar had a big head. I think Edgar was arrogant. But on the other hand, I think Edgar is not guilty, and, well, you disagree.
In a way, I can agree with you, because he didn't actually really do anything except get sucked in by the police who set him up to agree to kill his wife. Now, yes, he did make a mistake. He did cross the line, and that sense he's guilty. But as far as actually putting together an actual murder, I don't think he ever could have done that.
Okay, well then, you know, that's better than why, you know, I'm glad we brought that up here. You know, I used to hate you for essentially, you know, saying something a little bit different here. I'm glad you've sort of mellowed out on that, Mona. Well, I don't think Edgar Steele actually did it. I have a problem with this Don Pauly ass clown, this Hadding ass clown. You know that Hadding and Pauly are all mad at Edgar Steele because he said some harsh things about their buddy Kevin Alfred Strom. You know what I mean? Huh?
Oh my God, that's hysterically funny, because Strom is just as crazy a lunatic as Edgar Steele is.
Well, he's a different type. I mean, you know,
Hadding's sort of
a weird little tard too here. You know what I mean? You know, he's somewhat.
I don't know Hadding. Well, all I know is that we were on the same side during the war. You know, the Jim Giles war.
Okay, I remember here. Oh, Hadding, he really didn't want to argue with me. I call him Hadding the loveless mattoid meerkat. And now I'm calling Hadding the Cass Fluffer meerkat. And, you know, in any case, both Pauly and Hadding were all mad at Edgar Steele because he said some mean things about Joe Fields. And his wife, Deidre Fields was in pretty well the same position as, Cindy Steele. I sort of think that, you know, Edgar was sort of mean to Fields because he said, well, hey, I just simply can't afford to fight these bogus child molestation charges. I'll just go ahead and plead guilty to a misdemeanor. You know what I mean? And he was some white nationalist who would do it, and Edgar Steele said, well, you put guilty to child, you know, misdemeanor child molestation here. And essentially, his wife, Deidre, on VNNF here, goes ahead and makes the case for her husband. And what struck me is that here's Cindy Steele. She's in the same position as Deidre Fields. So I feel, I think Edgar Steele was a little bit, you know, see, I was charged with child molestation. Didn't do it. You know, Roxy stood by me. And so, you know, I mean, I can maybe feel for Joe Fields here. You know, Kevin Alvin Strom, I don't know if he did it or not. I think he might have done it. It's just that,
I think he was semi-guilty. I mean, they did have genuine evidence, but it was very minor evidence. But, yeah, he was airbrushing.
Yeah, and he did plead guilty. And old Hadding cannot admit that. Well, neither can Don Pauly. And, you know, Edgar Steele, I mean, hell, ripped Kevin Alfred Strom, and essentially, you know, both Hadding and Ed, and Don Pauly says that, okay, because you did this to Joe Fields and because you did this to Kevin Alfred Strom, we're gonna go ahead and do this. And here's this Don Pauly yapping this shit about how Steele went crazy. You know what I mean? And I seen a bunch of critters who pled NGRI. But you have to, in order to go ahead and get an NGRI, unless you have Jerry Spence in your corner, you have to have the prosecutor pretty well agree to it here. I've seen a bunch of critters who pled NGRI. I mean, my first roommate at Gulman was this nigger named Raymond something or another. And here he was. He was a, 23-year-old nigger who, from what I gather, he sodomized his 8-year-old niglet niece, you know, I mean, his sister or whatever had a niglet, you know, female niglet. He sodomized her. And then because she was whining about it, she's going to tell her mother, he goes ahead and kills his niglet niece here. But what got him, you know, this is just sodomistic rape and murder by niggers here. This is just, you know, par for the course for niggers. But what got him sent to a nut house is that he got out a kitchen knife and started cutting little slices of old Shaniqua up and eating them raw. That's what got him sent to the nut house. So here he is, he goes ahead and pleads NGRI. Well, what happens is that the prosecutor got signed up on it. I had a friend, forgot his name here, and he was a little short. He was a little 4'10", you know, sort of dwarf. You know, I mean, he wasn't a midget. He was, you know, he had real short legs here. He had a normal-sized body, but he was a dwarf. He was only about 5'10". And he was a little homosexual. And what he did is he got hold of some bad meth, and he went ahead and killed his faggot lover here of about, 20 years humping. You know what I mean? Just went ahead, you know, he got some wholesome bad meth. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do here about this, you know, about this faggot who went ahead, got some bad meth, and went ahead and killed his faggot lover? Do you make him ride the needle? And the answer is no. What happens is that he did it when he was nuts as hell here from bad meth. You know, usually about, at least about a third of the wiggers who are there get a hold of some bad drugs here. Sort of like this one guy. He only did 7 years. He got hold of some bad meth in Sarcoxie, Missouri, and he goes ahead and thinks that this 70-year-old Baptist minister is tupping his old lady. So he goes ahead and he takes a shotgun and blows the head off of this Baptist minister in Sarcoxie. He just goes up to his house, he opens the door, says, "You motherfucker, you been fucking my wife!" Bam! Gives him, you know, goes ahead and blows his head off with a 12-gauge shotgun here. There ain't much left of his head here. You know, being shot about, you know, even with just, you know, I'm not sure if he shot him with buckshot or just, you know, just number four, but, you know, hey, there wasn't much left of his head. You know, when you go ahead and get, you know, shot in the head, you know, at close range like that with a shotgun. But anyway, I was just amazed here. He only spent 6 months at Biggs, maximum. He spent a year and a half at Fulton, and within 3 years he goes to Hearns, you know, minimum security, and within 7 years, here he is, you know, essentially released for going ahead and blowing that, you know. And what happens? He pled NGRI. And in order to get an NGRI, unless you got Jerry Spence in your corner, you know,
right,
to fight for you, or somebody who's really, 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 really good, you know, a total whore, I mean, you're not, you know, I mean, this Don Pauly says Steele went crazy, that's horseshit. You know what I mean? Hey, you need to have the prosecutor roll over, and essentially the prosecutor ain't going to roll over on Edgar Steele. So it's a whole lot easier saying Edgar Steele didn't do it.
If you want to cop a plea, you have to do it at the beginning of the case, and he fought them tooth and nail. There was no way anyone could cooperate with Edgar Steele because he was not cooperating with anybody.
Well, why should he cooperate? He said he didn't do it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm listening to Don Paul, and he's come up with this crap about, oh, if old Edgar will say yes, he was trying to kill that gold-digging bitch Cindy here, but, you know, he didn't because he was nuts from his aorta surgery. I mean, heck, that's not, you know, he's not gonna make it unless the prosecution wishes to go along with it here. All Don Paul is doing is causing trouble. Is, you know, Hadding doesn't even do it. From my guy, Hadding was getting money for causing trouble, both with Harold Covington and, you know, Edgar Steele. So, well, there's a lot of people who don't much care. I mean, I've listened to Hadding. I mean, he's just an idiot meerkat who can speak a little bit of German and thinks he's a big old Nazi, and he knows, you know. I used to play board war games, and there are idiots who know how wide the tracks of a T-34 Russian tank are. You know what I mean? And how much pounds per square inch. And essentially, Hadding, he knows all this stuff here, and the end result is he sounds like a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? It's sort of like...
I don't know Hadding well enough to know, but he has hooked up with Jaeger, hasn't he?
Yeah, he hungs up with old Carolyn. I call her Carolyn Yenta. She used to be a fixture over on Finkelschini's, Finkelschini Jetteria here.
Oh.
Essentially, she's figured out that it don't look good, but, oh, earlier this year, she went ahead and invited old Will Williams, or as I call him, Wiggerswill. And old Wiggerswill says, well, you're dual seat like Chris Eddie, just like that Martin List did. Don't you believe that Satan had sex with Eve and she gave birth to Cain, became the first Jew? And the answer of it is yes, that's exactly, you know, that is, in one sentence, what dual seed like Chris Eddie believes here. The Jews are the spawn of Satan. You know, they come from Satan having sex with Eve and giving birth to Cain, the first Jew. So, Will Williams has essentially stated, number one doctrine of dual seed like Christian identity. And here's old Finkelschini. He says, well, that's an allegory of a race mixing event. So sure, it's an allegory. That means it didn't really happen, according to Fink.
Okay.
So essentially, Fink ain't really dual seed line. And I never thought he was. And I don't know why Eli James isn't essentially, rather than bitching about how Fink wants to kill, you know, wants to wait for Yahweh to kill all the niggers and Jews. I mean, rather fuss and piss and moan and fight with that and be called a universalist. I mean, if Eli James had any sense, he'd just say, hey, look, Finkelschini is going ass to mouth with Clint Downey and her little no-devil meerkat. I mean, Fink doesn't believe there is a devil. Fink doesn't believe, you know, Fink ain't dual seed light. And that's what Eli James, if he is smart, would say. You know what I mean? But, you know, Eli James is a Jew too, so I don't know if he's going to say that or not here. But, she used to hang around Fink here, but she's sort of putting, you know, pressure. But what she did is she hung around this little Guido named Tan Staffel, who has a Jew wife and Jew devil kids. You know what I mean? And old Tom Stoffel admits it, and that you can just tell it pisses her off. So she'll have a show with Andre the Nigger Angeline and Mike the Kike Delaney, and you know, then she calls it the White, you know, network. We can't allow Jews to call in. Well, hey, what about Fink? He's a Jew. I mean, you know, you're running around with somebody who might be a part Jew, who's married to a Jewess, who has Jew kids. I mean, you know, come on, Carolyn Yenta. And you know, I don't know, I haven't seen her very often here, but here's Clifton Emhiser. He used to, way back a decade ago, used to bitch about No Devil Meerkat Mark Downey. You know what I mean?
No, who the heck is Mark Downey?
Oh, he's, you know, he married this woman. You know, he ran around with this Debbie Downey heifer. An old Debbie Downey used to be, oh, for 1 year she wasn't that bad looking, but she had big tits. And she used to be married to the Washington State Grand Dragon named Badinsky. And what happens is that, you know, she's always, you know, her and Meerkat Mark get in a position of power and they ban dual seedliners because they don't believe that, they follow Sheldon Emery. And from what I gather, Sheldon Emery married a Beaner and had a Beaner daughter who married Dave Barley, and he doesn't believe there's a devil. Well, near does Mark Downey, you know, Meerkat Mark Downey. Well, he used to be the clut. He used to be the chaplain of this Washington State clan. And the Washington State Grand Dragon named Badinsky used to let his wife, Debbie Badinsky, claim to be the second commander, the Claylif. Well, what ended up happening is that she went ahead and got Willie Martin banned after, this was on this list server, after he went ahead, you know, I got banned in May of 2000, you know, after Y2K was over. But, you know, about a year and a half later, they banned my friend Hengist, and then a month later, they banned all the dual seedliners, except for this old Irish guy. And then Willie Martin, you know, who was a name in dual seedline Christian Day, is from Texas, they didn't need him to essentially offer him cover and concealment anymore. So old Debbie Downey said, "Why don't you ban old Willie here? He's been rude to me, and you know, you don't need cover and concealment." So essentially he got banned by old Andy Anderson. And I got mad and I said, I told this guy, a friend of mine named Hengist, who lived in Washington, you know, Olympia, Washington, I said, "That clunt down here, a little that Debbie down here, a little meerkat Mark here, they live in Port Townsend, you know," I said, "get me some shit on that bitch." And I don't mean just a rat turd. I mean, I want a lot of shit on that bitch. So he went looking for it. And, what happens, he found out that, you know, Debbie Badinsky divorced her husband, the Grand Dragon, but while she was, you know, waiting the divorce, she moved in with Mark Downey in a rental home owned by Mark Downey's parents. And I said, "Okay." He says, "Okay, that's the good news. What's the better news?" He said, "Well, there's about 4 or 5 women up here who claim that after the Klan business was done here, that old Clint, Debbie Downey was the sexual entertainment. Essentially, the Clud, Mark Downey ran off of the Claylif, of the Washington State Ku Klux Klan." So, pretty well, you know, Hengist, he would say what he could definitely prove, that essentially she's an adulterous whore, because essentially she divorced her first husband to run off with another man. And pretty well, I accused her. I said, "Well, you know," I said, "Debbie Downey, you're not no Klan Claylif. You're the Klan Quant." So I gave her the nickname of Quant. You know what I mean? Get it? K-L-U-N-T, huh?
Yeah, wouldn't it be Klan Quant?
Yeah, well, I was saying, you're not the Klan Claylif. You're the Klan Quant. You know what I mean? So, Anyway, everybody heard that. They gave her the, she didn't like dual seed liners before, but now she's being called Clunt Downey. And essentially, she didn't like that nickname I gave her here. I give people a lot of, you know, derogatory nicknames here. You know what I mean? Anyway. But anyway, for a week or so later, she waited a week and she couldn't say that me or Hengist were lying. She accused us of malicious gossip, though. So essentially, she had, and she named one of the women who faked her out. And I said, well, how do you think I know about this here? I live in Southwest Missouri. I'm better than what, 16, I'm between what, 1,500, 2,000 miles away from you. How did I find out about this? Answer? I said, look, Clint, you've been humping a lot of people you shouldn't have been humping, and the wives and mothers and sisters and girlfriends of these Klansmen you've been humping have been pretty well been snitching on you. And essentially, she did name, there were what, I think there were four women who went ahead and told Hengist, and they said, well, you can't mention, you can't say who it came from. And pretty well, I promised Hengist I wouldn't say that. But anyway, one of them, this heifer used to hang around Eli James, she called herself Pure Lily. She used to be known as Tiger Lily, and I called her Pure Silly, and she was one of the women who finked out old Clunt. You know what I mean? Well, what happens while I was in the nut house, she knew damn well that Clunt was a big old whore, but she was giving John Britton a hard time here, tried him in front of her own little identity court. I said, why the hell did you let these split tails essentially try you on the grounds that, essentially Clunt was a big old whore, when one of the women who essentially told Hengist about what a big whore she was is the one who's conducting the Inquisition. Heck. Old Pure Silly knew that Clunt was a big whore. She was the one who went ahead and freaked old Clunt out, huh?
Why can't you just say, listen, you guys, it's none of your damn business what I do. If I want to have sex, I'm going to have sex with anybody I choose. And it must
Yes, but what happens is that old Clunt Downey, I mean, hell, if you're supposed to be this righteous heifer here who, she can't go ahead and simply say, well, you're right, I've been fucking everybody in the clan after business. She could very well say, it's not your business how many of these stupid clansmen I fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, if she had said that.
If she had said that,
I mean, essentially, she was screwed. She couldn't go ahead and say that, me and Hengist were lying, because we weren't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and she, so essentially she accused me and Hengist of malicious gossip. You know what I mean? What do you think would happen if she had said, well, yeah, I get to fuck all the classmen I want after me. I mean, hell, I liked it. The Grand Dragon liked it here. Old Clud, Meerkat Mark liked it. Why, hey, she could very, she could very well be honest about it. I mean, she'd have been screwed, right?
You have to be honest about it. If that's the path you choose, you better hold your head up high.
Well, I mean, I might respect her a little bit more here, but, she couldn't deny, here she is pretending to be this righteous heifer, and essentially she's caught. I mean,
yeah.
Hell, she did divorce, the Grand Dragon,
She's free to do what she wants.
Well, yeah, but if you're claiming to be a dual seed line Christian identity minister's wife, you can't really say, I'm an adulterous whore, according to our own,
Why?
Well, it's like this here. Look, Mona. Let's say old Pope Benedict here. Can he really go ahead and say, is that, well, yes. What happens is that about these, you know, pederast priests in the Roman Catholic Church here, is that, yeah, I sort of like that. I sort of like that young, you know, altar boy man pussy, and yes, I went ahead and deliberately covered it up. Now, that might be the honest thing to say, but you can't go ahead and say that.
There's a difference between preying on young boys and a full-grown woman having sex with full-grown men.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, there is a difference here. I mean, it's not really a criminal. It's not really, well, there is a, yeah, there is, yeah, one's a criminal offense and the other isn't. I mean, essentially, the fact that old Clint Downey was a big old whore, you know, really was a criminal offense here. At least not a, it's a criminal offense according to Christian identity. I mean, she could have rocks thrown at her head, but, you know, as far as the ecclesiastical authorities, they don't really give a crap. But essentially, old Clint couldn't admit to being a big old whore. You know what I mean? And she couldn't exactly lie about how me and Hengist were lied here. You know what I mean? So she was screwed. So she never really liked. I don't know what the hell she had against Willie Martin. Willie Martin was about the meekest man I ever seen here. I can see why she wouldn't like me. I'm not a likable fellow. But you know, Willie Martin.
Why would a woman want a meek man?
Oh, Willie was a real nice guy. I mean, I'd chew on his ass occasionally for being too meek here, being too nice here. But,
yeah.
You know, I chewed on his ass a couple times, you know, and he said, well, Martin, I know, but I need to go ahead and go be, you know, I need to go and try to teach these people, make them behave or something like that by appealing to their better nature. And I say, Willie, they don't have a better nature. you need to deal with, and a couple times old Willie would, invite me on to a, one time he invited me on to a list server because he wanted me, you know, he didn't want to be the hatchet man himself, so he invited me, and I was, well, quite the hatchet man. You know, so, you know, every time they needed a bad dog, they'd go ahead and invite me in. And the trouble of this is a lot of time they couldn't control me once they invited me in. But, in any case, I just, you know, so, yeah, you have all these characters in Christian Identity. You know, they're Jews like Fink and Eli James, and, or Melungeons like, you know, Dan Johns and Jeremy Visser, or, you know, criminals, you know, drunken crackheads like Morris Gillette and Zogbots like James Wickstrom. And as a result, that's why I have this old guy named Gary. Gary is...
Well, that's why you have wonderful, this thing that you call it the movement.
Well, it's a bowel movement. I mean, shoot. How can you have a planned revolution, you know, from above when you end up having critters like David Duck and Don Black and Clint Downey and Fink and Eli James and these people aren't leaders. They're just Jews and Mamzers and criminals and idiots.
I'll go with idiots,
but, you know, criminal idiots too. I mean, they're criminals and Jews and they're all sorts of critters here. And if you're hanging around them, that just means that your brain is, you know, your brain is soft. Your brain needs, you know, I mean, you know, if you're a Whigger, you know, your brain is soft here, but you'll have critters and they know that they're Mamzers or mongrels like Rebecca Mace or something like that here. Last year I freaked her out around August. You know, what happens is that, thanks to some Nimbusters, I found out her Facebook name and found out a picture of her kissing the fish, and she was yapping about her half-Cherokee daughter. Well, hey, old Rebecca was a mongrel herself. Her daughter was even darker. And she freaked out one night when I went ahead and posted this link here about with her kissing the fish or something like that here, you know. Yeah, Rebecca May.
Wait a minute, fishing a fish like what swims in the ocean?
Yeah, well, she's kissing a fish for some damn reason, but she looked like a Mongol herself. She didn't look white. But her daughter didn't even look half Cherokee. Her daughter looked, you know, very, very, very dark. You know what I mean? So here it is. You know, you have a mixed breed pretend to be Christian identity. And I went ahead and showed this picture of, you know, hi, I'm Rebecca Mace here. You know, I'm Eliar's squaw or something like that. And I posted it. She didn't notice it. She didn't notice it initially here, so I went ahead and I was trolling. I went ahead and gave her a link, and she seen it, and she clicked it. And it was her and her daughter, you know, her Facebook pictures of her and her daughter, and she freaked out. Then she started repeating what I'd wrote here. She was all upset. And so what happens is Eli James went and blocked her. So she came back as victim of Satan, you know. And I guess I was Satan. And here she is, Eli, maybe I don't belong. Maybe I don't belong pretending to be Christian identity. And essentially Eli said, well, I'm working on an article called Crumbs. Essentially, a week later I went ahead and said, well, hey, the word Lord in Old English meant loaf giver. You know, the word Lord and Lady meant loaf giver. I said, Eli James, you're a Jew boy, but you're not Jesus Christ. You don't even have any authority to give any crumbs, you know, to these Canaanite dogs. And anyway, she freaked out here. Of course, that's nearly as funny as the time girl. There was this heifer named Maui Patricia Aiken. And she was sort of siding with Eli James, and Eli James said, well, you're married if you have sex with somebody. So here comes old Maui Patricia. She goes to Vegas here, and she, you know, I'm on there. I'm fighting with old Steve Elder, a.k.a. Commander McFag. Here's Maui Patricia. She comes on. You have old Pure Silly on there. And old Maui Patricia says, hi, everybody. I got married twice today.
Oh boy.
The first time, he was a beautiful Aryan male with blonde hair and green eyes. But he was no good in bed, so I had to divorce him. I have my Christian identity bill divorcement, you know, here signed on a cocktail napkin by the bartender.
Right.
I'm gonna be married for four more days here, you know, but to this wonderful accountant here. But he has to leave, you know, 4 days. So our marriage is only gonna last 4 days. So Eli is saying, Rebecca, you're not helping anything. And in the meantime, I'm fighting with McFag. I mean, it was, you know, July 30th, 2011. It was about the most hilarious talk show chat I ever seen here. And old Rebecca Mason's making fun of Eli James here. So I went ahead and made a little song called "Hey Maui, Let's Go to Vegas" here. And you know, it's sort of like from Faith Hill. Hey, you know, let's see. Hey Maui, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white chest, laugh goodbye. Hey Maui, let's go to Vegas. Bet all lost and let come fly. And I had a parody song about that here. And you just have so many idiots, you know, liars and Jews and criminals. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of things to talk about, you know, here in the Movement Turd, okay?
Yes, indeed.
So.
A very colorful group.
Oh, well, here. Heck, it's, you know, 12:30 or something like that. Am I keeping you up? It's only 10:30 out in California, right?
Yeah, but I think it might be time to close it down.
Well,
what do you think?
Well, I think it's okay to go ahead and do so. So anyway, you doing? You know, you still hosting Keith or something like that?
Yes, we did one today.
Well, good.
And he wants you to know that the Phoenicians were predominantly white, even though they did live, as you say, in Canaan.
Because he says a lot of the Adamic people, he says the land of Canaan was about 80% Adamic people.
Uh-huh. Well, the Canaanites were an Adamic people. They were descended. Yeah, well, they were an Adamic people. They were descended from Adam. On both sides. On both sides. They were descended. They were descended from Canaan, who, Canaan, was Ham, and he was Noah's. He was Noah's, last son here, and pretty well he was married to Naama, who was also of the line of Seth. But essentially, these Canaanites were evil people. I mean, me and Keith have had that argument, and I don't know what. I don't see how Keith is going to get anywhere in Christian identity by making that argument. Heck, maybe I'll get on the Finkelschini show. Finkelschini, Finkelschini doesn't have any problem with Canaanite mongrels. You know what I mean?
I don't think that Fink allows for people to have ideas that are different from his.
Oh, hell no, he don't here. I mean, he runs a sort of Talmudic, sewing circle. If you go ahead and disagree with Fink here, he's going to call you a clown. He's going to ban you. Call you a clown, then ban you, or ban you, and then call you a clown. He's pretty well, and I did go ahead and say, I said, maybe you ought to go with old Meerkat Mark and Clunt Downey, because, hey, you believe that poor old Satan died, during the 1,000 years when the Roman Catholic Church...
I don't believe there ever was a Satan.
Okay, why?
Because it's a silly idea.
Why?
Why? Because evil people don't strive to that level of rivaling Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, all right, well... Dual seed line believes that there is a devil because, hey, you have to have somebody be in the daddy of Jews.
I think you have to, I'm not sure that I'm dual seed line in the sense that most people think of it. I think that Jesus Christ was a white man without question.
Okay.
I think he was brought up in a world that did believe in the dual seed line, and I think he himself believed it. But I don't believe in the Adam and Eve story. I believe that there are two basic genetic types on the planet. There's us and them. There's white ways, and there's the white people and everybody else. And I think that Jesus was white. But other than that, I don't think I probably do fit in.
So are Canaanites or Jews, are they white or are they other?
Jews are not white.
So are they other?
They are other. Yeah, they're a mixed breed.
Okay, well, dual seed line holds is that there's only two seed lines that are, that are any importance here. We don't give too much importance to niggers or beaners or whatever because they're just simply mongrels descended from the six-day beasts of the field without any souls here.
I agree with that.
Okay, well, the thing about it is that Jews are the spawn of Satan, and, me and Keith have had this argument before. He sort of thinks that Israelites are Canaanites and some Canaanites are Israelites, and I don't agree with that at all. And I don't know anybody else in dual seed line who would agree with Keith. But I don't have a problem with Keith and you doing a show, and occasionally if I'm able to download it, I'll go ahead and download some of it here. The problem of it is, last time I checked,
it's pretty tedious. I gotta warn you, it's pretty tedious. The shows go on about an hour and a half. You might poke in for 10 minutes just to get a flavor of what's going on, but I really don't think you need to listen to the whole hour and a half.
No, I'd probably download it and listen to it while I'm working, working on something here, mowing or something like that. But it's sort of hard to download, or at least it was here. I need to go ahead and go back and check it here. I really did like K Keith as a person. It's just I didn't agree with his, I didn't disagree with what he said here. And I managed to probably stick with Keith a lot longer than about anybody else did here. Well, other than you. You like Keith here, and you sort of agree with him. So, I don't really have a problem with Keith.
You have to treat Keith like the megalomaniac that he is.
Oh, why, you think he's a megalomaniac?
I think so. I think that Keith has some kind of a very powerful religious experience, and I have never told him this, but frankly, I think it was probably drug-induced. Everybody in my generation took drugs. A lot of people in my generation ended up with this mess, what do you call it? Oh, what's the word for it? It's a form of schizophrenia that's religious.
Generally, someone locked up the nut house. Most of the nuts, we have a common saying for it, is that he's fucked up in the head. You know what I mean? that's not a DSM-IV or 5, you know, category. I mean,
there's a real word for what I'm trying to say. This is a real classification of a genuine mental illness that's recognized in don't know the right word, but it's schizophrenia based on a religious experience where you identify with Jesus to the point where, and this is where it gets evil, where you think that you understand, you might even believe you are Jesus, or you think you're his, you know, his main squeeze, and that you have the best understanding of anybody else, and everybody else needs to shut up and listen to you. I think he's got that little problem, which is okay with
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that old Keith probably does not. I mean, you know, what you said, Mona, is probably there's little Nimbuster Tard ears that are listening to this, and little Nimbuster Tard ears are going to be taking Pico files from that. It's a good thing that. You know, good thing for you that old Keith does not listen to Nimbusters, okay?
No, I know. I'm going to have to tell Keith that I perceive him this way. I don't want to keep it a secret, but I do think that he has what's called a religious psychosis.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well,
when you're as right as he is, and you devote yourself as he has to reading the Bible,
I never had any problem with the depth of Keith's belief. It's just that I did not agree with, you know, where he ended up here. And, I think I lasted longer than anybody else, you know, before or since. And, you know, I think it's good, you know, well, who's Christian Daddy? I mean, you know, Mona, I mean, for whatever reason, you like giving Keith a, you know, audience here or something like that. And I think that's good here.
Philosophy out in the public so that he's not frustrated and so people can understand, because he's got a very classical view.
Yeah, he really does cover it. You know, he really does cover it very. I mean, where he gets to is very logical up to a certain point. And then, you know, then what happens is that some cases you're going so long, and then you go ahead and you look up and you say, how the hell did he get here? You know what I mean? How the hell did he get here? You know what I mean?
Martin, is that your name, Martin?
Yeah.
Okay, Martin, he believes that the reason Jesus appeared to be such a sweet guy, healing everybody and loving everybody, that was just a false mask to hide his true identity of the vengeful Yahweh in order to fool the Jews into crucifying him. Because if he had shown his true face, the face of Yahweh, they would have been afraid to crucify him, and they had to crucify him so that he could fulfill, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's not altogether too far fetched here. That's what I get with Keith here, is that Keith will read quite a bit of stuff here, and then the biggest fight I ended up having with Keith here was the Canaanites or Israelites, Israelites, Canaanites. He goes ahead and reads what? Let me see. First Chronicles chapter 4 about the genealogy. And he goes ahead and points out that Shelah was a son of Judah, and he was, from a Canaanitish woman. And that Shaul was the son of Simeon from a Canaanitish woman. And then he says, well, yes, because they're mentioned genealogy, they're Israelites. I said, no, they're not Israelites. Keith or Kael, they make a big point that they're Canaanites. And essentially,
They were Canaanites. They lived in the land of Canaan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're Israelites because, they're Israelites, Canaanites are Israelites and Israelites are Canaanites because they share the same, rural free directory. And no. It was a genetic thing. It was a genetic thing, but, like you point out, is that the Canaanites, especially the Edomites here, they ended up just like the Pharisees were saying to, Christ in John chapter 8, well, we are Abraham's children and never were enslaved, and Christ initially has to agree is that, yes, you are descended from Abraham, but you're descended from Esau. And so he goes ahead and then pretty well says the dual seed line message is that, hey, he was a murderer, he was a liar and a murderer, and you are your father the devil. So essentially Christ knew exactly who these people were, and they pretty well get on Christ's nerve, and he chews on their ass about who they are. And the same thing with Keith here. I mean, what Keith would do, and he has a history of, everybody who doesn't agree with Keith as a heretic and a blasphemer and all this sort of thing. That's another unlovely characteristic of Keith.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, well, there are people who say Logan's bad, but no, Keith is, easily on even a good day, he's twice, he's 2.5 to 3 times worse than Logan ever has been here. Many times Logan will get on tangent here, and he'll be like a green pony here with an iron mouth here. You can't, you gotta just let him gallop his way out here. But Keith, you can't, I'm amazed that I lasted, nine shows with Keith here. I'm amazed as heck here. And essentially, it got to where I just couldn't do it no more. You know what I mean? So, I mean, February, he calls me up. He wants me to troll the crap out of Eli James. Well, hey, I don't have a problem trolling the crap out of Eli James and messing with his, infiltrating into his talk show show. Heck, I do that all the time here. You know what I mean? But, and then it gets to where we end up having the fight about, Canaanites being Israelites and Israelites being Canaanites, and Keith, come on, just give it up, Keith. And Keith wouldn't do it. Keith got mad at me and he hung up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the way he sees it, if he gives an inch to to a person who's infected with heresy, he's going to burn in hell, and he doesn't want to do that.
I like Keith, but, heck. It gets to where you get in the same rut to where Keith was hanging up on you again, and I'm not gonna be buffaloed by Keith. Now, Keith, Keith, calm down. You're full of shit. Calm down. Israelites are Israelites, and Canaanites are Canaanites, and there's a difference between the two. Now, he's not vicious. He's not vicious like Fink, trying to go ahead and turn Phoenicians into Israelites. But, you know, I mean, Keith is no Jew, you know, but, Keith has his good points. So I like listening to some of what Keith says, because some of what Keith does is fairly good scholarship. It's fairly deep scholarship. But the problem with following Keith here, you know, Keith down here, is that, well, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like getting, you know, lost in Chicago or New York City in a big truck here. Once you get on a certain parkway or whatever, you cannot get off easily. You know what I mean? You cannot get easily, and then one of these minutes, you're driving along, and where the hell am I at now? You know what I mean? Sort of like my driver-trainer. You're supposed to get off at, at the end of the New York Thruway here, on number B here, and essentially you have a gook. You have a Vietnamese gook, and he was a Vietnam-era door gunner. And he sees what he hates most of all, a South Vietnamese gook who essentially ran out to this country. He sees a Vietnamese, and he wants to jump through the window and kill that damn dog-eating gook. And essentially he's so mad, you know, from desire to kill this gook, that he goes ahead and he misses the next entrance here, and we get caught on the major I-87 Major Deegan, essentially, you know, trying to figure out how to get the hell off of, you know, get the hell off of there and get right back to the right one here. And, you know, Keith's the same way. You go ahead and you follow him, and then one, you know, eventually you go ahead and you look up, and where the hell am I at now? This ain't where I want to be. And, you know, then you jump ship, and old Keith is mad as hell. And,
I don't jump ship with him. I just let him make his point. I'm just recording him and putting it on his website that I made up for him. I'm not judging it at all. I'm just letting him say what he has to say, because I think he has a lot to say. And nobody
He's okay to listen.
But you can't argue, absolutely.
Well, no. I mean, you go ahead and you listen, and sometimes you learn something from it, but, you know, every single time I've seen Keith, essentially you get to the end and say, why the hell did we get here? And right. in many cases with the Canaanites or Israelites, we get to where he wants to skip, you know, Genesis chapter 38 or Genesis chapter 46, which pretty well says these creatures were sons of Canaanitish women, and therefore they were not deemed to be Israelites. Yes, old Simeon squirted a load in Canaanite pussy, so did Judah, and yeah, you end up having some little dirty little Jew devils. And it misses much here, but no, they were not Israelites. They were dirty little Jew devils. And,
Canaanites, yeah.
Yeah, they were Canaanites. And, you know, what Fink does...
I don't think he believes that. I think he believes those women that you're talking about were actually white women that lived in Canaan. Am I not right?
Yeah, he somehow believes this crap here, but, you know, I mean, heck. It's sort of like calling niggers African Americans. They're not African Americans, they're niggers. And, essentially, if you want to go ahead and call them by the race, they're Africans. Or, you know, and you can go ahead and say that they're, what, either blue gums? There's not too many blue gums. They're most, you know, they're just mostly shit-colored niggers. I mean, they're not Americans. And I don't care if they, you know, I don't care if they've been in South Texas here since, what, 1610. It doesn't matter to me.
They,
you know, they're not, you know, they're still damn Mexicans or Beaners or whatever. They're not Americans to me. You know, they don't belong in this country. And,
I think it's important to understand that where you and Keith disagree is that he thinks these Canaanite women were white as you and me.
Some of them, the problem is that there were some of them. like the Amorites. And, you know, me and Logan covered that. These Gibeonites, they were able to fool. They fooled Joshua. They fooled Eleazar. They fooled Phinehas. They pulled the fast one. They pulled the fast one. And then once they cut a deal, they couldn't break it. I mean, Saul, you know, King Saul, he was mad that, what, 300 or so years earlier, they started this, you know, Israelite-Benjamite civil war, to where almost all the tribe of Benjamin living in the homeland were killed. You know, essentially, they took on the other, you know, 12 tribes, and they, you know, except for 600 fighting men that managed to run into the rocks, they were all killed. And essentially, nearly the whole tribe was killed because they allowed these damned, you know, essentially these Gibeonite Amorites that were supposed to be slaves to, you know, escape justice for trying to homosexually rape a Levite, you know, with an Ephraimite concubine. And there was a civil war. There was a civil war within 50 years or so of the conquest of Canaan. And nearly the tribe of Benjamin was nearly slaughtered. Was nearly extinct, except for 600, you know, fighting men, you know, in the land of Canaan. And Saul hated these people. He would judicially find a way to murder them. And after David had pretty well pissed Yahweh off with running around with even a Canaanite's wife, he said that Saul's sons and grandsons had to be hung. You know, had to die at the end of a rope because of what they did to these Gibeonites who were Amorites. So yeah, there were Amorites who had less bigger noses than Jews, like the Hivite Hittite kind, who were blonde, blue-eyed, and, you know, Leslie Stahl-type Jews. And these critters were dangerous. These critters were dangerous because they were, you know, if you looked at the book of Jasher, it said that Naamah, who was the mother of Canaan, the wife, you know, the wife of Ham, was, well, essentially descended from Lamech, who killed Cain, who was of the Kenite, you know, the Kenite people, but also from, you know, the line of Seth. Adah and Zillah were from the line of Seth. So you've had these bloodlines mix in and create these evil, you know, eviler, you know, critters here. So, you know, I mean, and Keith, you know, Keith, if he wants to claim to be dual seed line, needs to know that. He can't say, well, hey, Israelites were Canaanites, Canaanites were Israelites, because they all went ahead and got their mail out of the same post office box. You know what I mean? If Keith's going to say that, then, hey, everybody's going to be a heretic but him. You know what I mean? He's going to be all by himself, and that's what he is. That's what he is. Okay?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, anyway.
I also agree with you that whatever it is he has to say is important enough and interesting enough to get it out into the public forum, and that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what you were trying to do, and I think it's worth doing.
Well, I got to where I went ahead and essentially Keith, I just simply cannot stand to engineer your show, and I'm just going to be called blasphemer and heretic because you disagree with me. Keith, please, why don't you just go ahead and just do your own damn show and leave it at that. You know what I mean? And I don't have a problem. I mean, Keith can go ahead and teach you a lot, but what you got to do is that once you learn, you know, enough here, you get to where, Keith, we're not going to agree. And I had the same attitude toward Pete Peters. A lot of people say, well, you want to fight with Pete Peters. He's claiming not to be Christian identity. He's a one seed liar at best. He has part, you know, he's part Indian. And I point out is that, look, the better, you know, the better and smarter and the more called Pete Peter's believers will get tired of Pete Peter, his pet Jew, Charles Weissman, his nigger of the month. They'll get tired of that crap. And the ones who really amount to something here will go ahead and strike out on their own. And Pete Peters is a good start, is a good enough start. I'm not going to fight with Pete Peters unnecessarily. I met Pete Peters, and Pete Peters was an arrogant little bastard. And, you know, I mean, I told Pete Peters I wouldn't cause any trouble, and I kept my word. You know what I mean? And, you know, he still, I mean, you know, he knew I was dual seed line. He looked upon me like I was a serpent in his mix, but I went ahead and kept my agreement. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know, I didn't really have a problem with Pete Peters. I did not agree with Pete Peters.
I've got him here. He's passed away at the age of 64 in 2011, Pete.
Yeah, he died, what, 2 years ago or so. And here's old Visser, and Visser got a good deal of red nigger mongrel in him. And he's at Pete Peters' thing, and buddies with Pete Peters, and I have a picture of him. He's looking like a Melungeon. That's what he's looking like. He's looking like a part Jew, part red nigger, part nigger mongrel of some sort. And, you know, heck, you have in Christian Day where everybody knows one another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if they don't know one another, it's because, like, oh, the gender bender, they are in hiding. You know what I mean? They are definitely in hiding. You know, you probably have Fink. You certainly have Brian Rio. You probably have Eli James listening to me every so often. All these other characters, you know, and, you know, certainly Visser and Obagender are listening. And, you know, they're bitching, well, can you have Mona Montgomery? She's a heathen, old skank here. Don't listen to Mona. And I have a number of people. I may not agree with them, but there's no need to yell and scream and fuss and piss and moan. Last week I had you on, then I had Visser on. And Visser, of course, did not return the favor of having me call in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
who's Visser?
He's Jeremy Visser. He's a, I call him a Sephardic Melungeon. He's a critter that pretends to be Christian identity. Okay?
Yeah, Christian identity.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, he pretends to be Christian identity. Anyway, Mona, I'm going to let you go. It's what, 1 o'clock? Well, it's around 11 o'clock your time. It's
well,
1 o'clock
you,
my
time.
Yep, well, it's been interesting. You tell Keith hello from me, and I think that'd probably be about as good or as safe to do here. You know, I really like Keith here. It's just that, oh, every so often you have to, it's sort of like this other friend of mine. You get to where you know the arguments you're going to have with him, and essentially the first day he's a long lost brother. You know, by day two you're beginning to get a little bit tired of him. By day three you want to kill him. And,
we only do this about once every 2 weeks, so it's not a problem.
Okay, well, that's good. That's
it's
good.
Kind of entertaining, but yeah.
Well, he can be interesting, but I know enough about Christian Day to know that, no, I'm not going to agree with you, Keith. You know, I can see where you're going wrong when you're going wrong. But, you know, sometimes... Huh?
I hope someday we can sort that out and I can get an understanding of what you're talking about.
Well, it's
right now I'm trying to keep
in the case of the case of Keith, you know, Canaanites or Israelites, Israelites or Canaanites, I mean, I have a very good idea where we go wrong here. I mean, essentially, Keith insists Keith insists that since they're mentioned, you know, as being part of the camp of Israel in what? Oh, First Chronicles chapter 4, that, well, we're not going to pay too much attention to Genesis chapter 38 and Genesis chapter, I think, 46 or 47. We're not going to pay attention to what it says. No.
Have you ever discussed that with him, or he probably didn't even allow that discussion?
No, no, we had this discussion here, and heck, I mean, by this time, by this time, we both know that we're not going to agree with it. So,
okay.
I mean,
great.
What happens February, he calls me up, well, let's troll Eli James. Well, hell, fine, Keith. You know, heck, I don't even need you to go ahead and suggest that I troll Eli James. Hell, I troll Eli James even before you were calling me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Of course, let's troll Eli James. You want to troll Eli James? Yeah, let's troll Eli James. And we get from an agreement to where we get back to Israelites or Canaanites, Canaanites or Israelites, and he gets mad and he hangs up on me. So, I mean, Keith will not take yes for an answer. You know what I mean?
Right, I do.
Well, you know, Keith.
I don't think Eli James is worth trolling.
Well, usually I troll his mams retard, Eli James's mams retards here. You know what I mean? Well, what I've done is back when he had old Steve Elder, I get to where he gets to trolling like crazy. You don't really troll that much here. And I don't really troll that much. I mean, Visser got me IP block banned, so it's harder to troll because I have to use a Tor browser. You know what I mean?
Well,
Visser, yeah, Visser and Old Gender Bender. Old Gender Bender is some Australian transgendered poofter. I went ahead and ridiculed him, but, you know, I told him that a one-eared dingo. You know, you're of an age to remember David Jansen on The Fugitive. He's chasing after the one-eyed man who killed his wife, you know what I mean? Right?
No, I vaguely remember that TV show, but I never watched it.
Okay, well, what happens is it was on CBS out on Lone Prairie, and my grandparents would watch it religiously. The Fugitive with David Jansen. Well, what happens, I went ahead and looked here, and, you know, old Gender Bear is a fugitive here, but, you know, there ain't a one-eared man here. There's a one-eared dingo that stole his pickle. He had his pickle, he was going ahead committing devious sexual acts in an Alice Springs lorry lot, and a dingo managed to throw a rock at a glass jar containing his pickle here, his penis and testicles. Here they had in a jar being pickled. One year dingo went ahead and ate it here. So he's sort of like Captain Hook here. You heard about Peter Pan and Captain Hook? Wow, the crocodile is following, you know, Captain Hook because he wants to go ahead and eat the rest of Captain Hook here. Well, that's what the one-eared dingo is like here. The one-eared dingo is sort of chasing after Obi here, and Obi's chasing after the one-eared dingo. And
now listen, is this your website, this
whitenationalist.org? Yeah, whitenationalist.org/forum, you know what I mean?
Right, that's you, right?
Huh?
That is your website.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
I can see your personality here.
Well, anyway, I have fun with Obed, you know. I went ahead and gave the nickname of Obed Gender Bender, you know, to that here. But a lot, you know, John Britton, you know, Pastor John Britton thought he was an actual gender bender, but he showed up, and the critter freaks everybody out because it impersonates, it has a female avatar. It's always had. And generally, white men do not impersonate, you know, women. You know what I mean? Huh? I mean, when I first showed up, he was whining about, is profanity necessary in Christian identity? And Pastor John Britton was driving a truck. He stayed up Saturday, looked on VNN, and found out old Gender Bender had a post over on Linder's VNNF here saying, fuck the rules. They suck.
Yeah.
And there was this Christian identity woman here, one of the very few here who turned out good, named Pilgrim. And she gave old Obagender Bender the Scarlet H for hypocrisy. And, Obagender Bender came looking, gunning for me, and essentially,
Obagender Bender, yeah. Mr. Poofter Possum 666.
Yes, I go ahead and say, Pastored Pister picked a peck of pickled poofter possums. A peck of pickled poofter possums, Pastor Pister picked. So, anyway, I just, give the Scarlet Ace, you go ahead and click the link to where, essentially, it's just a big light. I thought it was Clint Downey initially. The critter is, I don't know, have you ever, seen sort of girly men to where essentially they're sort of twisted homosexuals? I'm sure you have a bunch of them in California. You have a bunch of them in California. I mean, that's what Obagender Bender is. It's sort of a twisted homosexual that isn't too, that isn't too careful about its, about its gender here.
Right.
And according to Israelite law, a man impersonating a female, wearing female garments, was to be put to death. So Obagender Bender, really wouldn't last very long among genuine Israelites. And what it does is that it can't show its face. It can't tell its name. I remember, about 2 years ago, here's this 65-year-old woman. She's rather plain, but she's looking for Christian identity, comradeship in Australia, and Obagender Bender accuses her of being one of my sock puppets. Well, no. I mean, Obagender Bender runs a data mining site. You can't get on it by using a Tor browser. I know, because I've tried to get on it several times here. I've been able to get on Visser's forum a number of times, Visser isn't the data miner Obagender Bender is. And, Obagender Bender is a clever critter. It's Visser's brain. And they had a big falling out for about a month, and they got back together again. Because, hey, Obagender Bender needed Visser because he needed to have somebody, who would play pastor for him to run his strings here. And Visser needed, essentially Obagender Bender because Obagender Bender is his brains. So, they work together. They work together just fine. But they're not liked and they're not loved and they're not trusted. I mean, nobody trusts some critter who showed up, who refuses to go ahead and show what it looks like, what its real name is. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Yeah. I mean, why would you follow, certainly, some critter that's impersonating a female? I mean,
right.
Here you are, a 50-some-year-old, supposedly white male, and you've always been impersonating a female avatar. I mean, that's just, that's just weird. That's just perverse. Huh?
I agree with you.
Yeah, well, so does everybody else here. So, essentially, they don't trust Obagender Bender, and then I have these pictures of Visser, and Visser looks like Visser looks like a mamzer. Visser, Visser got a Sephardic Dutch name. And, essentially, its mother is a Indian of some sort, and Visser just simply lies all the time. So yeah, there's really nobody in charge overall of Christian identity, dual seed line Christian identity. I got my faction, and Fink has little Brian Real Sword Mamzer, and, Meerkat Mark, and, pretty well everybody is at odds with everybody else, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that for the genuine Israelites to, well, make up their own mind as to what they actually believe here. And, you know, I mean, I like Keith because Keith, you know, while dogmatic and while annoying, you know, Keith is not vicious. Keith is not a liar. Keith actually believes what he says, even though, you know, I don't agree with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, Keith is, you know, Keith, you know, I like Keith. I really do. I just don't agree with him, and I can't agree with him for very long. So, in any case, I'll go ahead and see what I can download about his shows here and listen to some of them here. Although by this time I know where I disagree with Keith here, but, tell Keith hello from me here.
I will, and I did last time, and I think everything's working out pretty well.
Well, I think it is, too.
Because it's getting tired for me.
Yeah, it's getting late for you here. It's getting late for me. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I think I'm going to go ahead and, I really like having somebody. I like having somebody to talk to. That's why I like the panel discussions here. Sort of like with Gary. Gary believes slightly different than I do. He believes that Yahweh and Christ are the same being. You know, I don't.
Right.
But we get along. But we get along real well. Me and Logan get along, you know, real well. So, any case here, we're going to have our disagreements, but essentially we're brethren of the church, and we will, you know, we'll go ahead and, you know, live in peace with each other here. Anyway, I'll let you go, Mona. I'm glad you were able to call in. You've modified a little bit about, you know, about Edgar Steele. You don't think he's guilty? You do know that he appeared in front of the, you know, he was supposed to appear in front of the Ninth District Court, the Nutty Ninth?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about. Are you talking about an appeal?
Yeah, appeal. He was supposed to hear his appeal here on the Ninth, or last week, either Monday or Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I need to look into that.
Okay, well, You might go ahead and look on the Edgar Steele thread. Anchorage Activist does a pretty good job of keeping up with a lot of that sort of thing here. And you might go ahead and look. He was supposed to have it there, but no, there's not been no version here. I don't know. You know, all the courts are corrupt as hell. I think Edgar Steele was innocent altogether of that. But at least, you know, at least you're modifying, you know, what your stance a little bit. So, anyway, I'm glad to hear it. Anyway, Mona, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okie doke. All right, folks. I think that we're going to go ahead and call it a night. I've, pretty well had an interesting, Okay, well, free-edgar-steel.com here. I've had words with the little guy who, you know, Robert Magnuson, who runs it here. I think he's somewhat of a tard myself here. But on the other hand, I hope that Edgar's appeal works here. I really do. I don't think he's that good of a lawyer, and he had quite a big head, but I think that a lot of that's been worked out of him here. So, let's go ahead and hope for the best here for Edgar Steele. Let's see. Anyway, I think that's about it. So, I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
Call recording has been completed.